You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Darren Owen, Luke Elder and Chris Pimlott in the studio. We've got racing on the flat at Nottingham, accompanied by Jumps Racing at Taunton and Fakenham. The meeting at Fakenham is the High Five meeting here at William Hill. We also have Kempton on the all-weather poly track in the evening, and Irish Racing as well on Wednesday night from Dundalk. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Luke Elder. Hi, Luke.
Not too bad, yourself?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Well, I say not too bad. I'm depressed today.
Why's that?
Well, this time last year, this day last year, this very second last year,
This
very second last year.
It's quite precise.
I'm a precise person. I don't mess around. I was on a plane out to LA for the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita. And this day, this year, this second, I'm in a studio with you right now, but earlier on I was just getting...
There's only one winner there.
I was getting abused by Seb Sanders on air.
<It's> like, right.
I know where I'd rather be, but this year there's no Breeders' Cup dream to go to. We shall be covering on William Hill Betting TV.
Yes.
Every single race.
Yeah.
Covered on William Hill Betting TV.
Are you on Betting TV that night?
I'm on Betting TV both nights.
Yeah.
And throughout the afternoon as well. So I have no life. Literally nothing.
Literally, though, we know how much you like the Breeders' Cup. So it's
I love the Breeders' Cup. It's I'm so excited for the
Marriage made in heaven.
I love it. I love it. You always enjoy the European battle. Last year it was pretty terrible, to be honest, because we only won two races, and races we were meant to win, we weren't. Plus, we had shaped our whole trip around Lancaster Bomber winning the Juvenile Turf, and he came third, and it didn't really kick off the trip too well. But we'll hope for more winners this time around. It's an interesting track at Del Mar, much, much tighter than Santa Anita. But you go back a few years ago at Santa Anita, I think we won... Well, the Europeans anyway won every single race that we had horses in, except for the Classic, where Declaration of War was third. So, no, very excited for it. I think we'll get more into that later on.
Yeah, and that's nothing new in the Classic. We know how dreadful a record European Raiders have
in
that particular
race.
Yeah,
that won't be improving this year with Churchill.
It won't. Well, it's who's going to go to stud, by the way, isn't he?
It's a sort of last throw of dice. I think it's an interesting one. Caravaggio is also on his way, and Highland Reel will have his swan song.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to Hong Kong, but. Likely his last race in the Breeders' Cup turf, where he'd have a good chance with Ulysses also in there as well.
Let's have a quick look at the Breeders' Cup turf while we're on the subject of it. Ulysses is the market leader here at William Hill at the moment at 2-1. Highland Reel is 9-4. 8-1 Beach Patrol, Decorated Knight is 8-1. Seventh Heaven is 12-1. Cliffs of Moher is 20s with Oscar Performance and Talismanic. It's then 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. A few things to mention. Highland Reel, as you mentioned, trying to win the race and what would be maybe his big final hurrah. Ulysses, partnered by Frankie De Tori. And we've got like some Decorated Knight in there with a decent draw as well by the looks of things. European Challenge is strong.
Yeah, we'll win this race. I'm not 100% sure which one with, but the American contingent wouldn't be the strongest in this race. Beach Patrol's won the Arlington Millions, won a couple of races the last twice, but beating Fanciful Angel back in second and third place. Now, Fanciful Angel's a good horse. He'll run in this race, I think, but he wouldn't have a chance against the likes of Highland Reel and Ulysses if they turned up on Song. Ulysses has had this race mapped out for the entire season. They're basically working back, and they've just happened to win a Judmont and second in the King George as well on the way, along with an Eclipse beating Barney Roy. Highland Reel, I think he may be the one that have the race go his way. Last year, he got the mother of all rides from Shamie Heffernan when winning this race, beating Flintshire. If he manages to dictate things once again, Ulysses might have a hard enough time reeling him in. It's going to be tricky. Those two, for me, will finish 1-2 with Decorated Knight back in third place, but I'm just not sure which way around Highland Reel and Ulysses will finish. Oscar Performance will try and be a spoiler for Highland Reel at Bullard's Alley as well. Was an absurd winner of the Canadian International at Woodbine off a really slow pace. He's not going to get that sort of thing to aim at in this contest. If there were one at a big price of the Americans to have a look at, if they go a good pace, Sadler's Joy will be running on when others have cried enough. But I'd be disappointed if there wasn't a European winner of the turf.
So go with the forecast, Ulysses.
That's what I'll be doing anyway, yeah. And I'll probably throw a Decorated Knight in and let them sort themselves out.
Just for anybody who doesn't know, the draw, Highland Rail is coming out of three, which is a good position given his front-running style. Ulysses will be in five, Roger Charlton's Decorated Knight in four, Cliffs of Moher in six. So yeah. The Europeans all grouped together.
Yeah, no real complaints. And also Ulysses has the added effect of having Frank Ettore on board as well. Jim Crowley's obviously done most of the work, all of the work this season with Ulysses, but Frankie on board is no negative at any Breeders' Cup contest.
No, you are correct.
Thank you.
What about the big one then, the Breeders' Cup Classic? We've mentioned that Europeans have a particularly poor record in the race. Gunrunner is a favourite for this year's renewal at 15-8. Last year's champion is Arrogate at 9-4. West Coast is 11-2, 6-1 collected. Churchill is 16-1. Mub Tahij 22-1 and 33-1 are bigger prices for the others. Priced up as if it should really be the big match we want to see, I suppose, between Gunrunner and Arrogate.
Yes, it should be. Gunrunner still got to answer a few questions about whether he's really a 10 furlong horse out and out. Arrogate at his best would pick these up and carry them, but Arrogate's not at his best. He hasn't been for a long time since winning out in Dubai for the Dubai World Cup. I'm not sure Del Mar's really a track that plays to Arrogate's strengths, which has found him out the last twice, really. He was beaten by Collected, who's a 6-1 chance in here, and also Accelerate. He's going to go for the dirt mile. That form's not good enough to be winning this race. It's not good enough to come in the first three in this race, maybe to finish third, but no better than that. Gunrunner is a horse that's just going from strength to strength, but the three-year-olds this year have been a confusing bunch, and there's one star that's emerged by winning the Travis in West Coast, who was an absurdly impressive winner that afternoon, then went on won the Pennsylvania Derby at Parks last time out. He's 11-2. He's the one that I've backed in the race, West Coast. I just think if he can dominate, then they might not get to him. Gunrunner would be one that would be trying to sit on the coattails. Arrogate, his works have been awful recently. He hasn't looked like the horse that he once was. He's been improving, but whether he's going to be improving enough for this, they've already said this is going to be his last run as well. So they've already ruled out the Pegasus if that happens at the start of next year and also the Dubai World Cup. He'll be trained to the minute, Arrogate, but I still can't see him coming back. I'd love to see it, but it would be more heart over head. I think West Coast is a very attractive proposition at 11-2.
Do you know where Arrogate got his name from, by the way?
No.
Prince Khalid Abdullah came over to Leeds and we were going to Harrogate, but everyone calls it Arrogate because we don't say H's in Yorkshire.
No.
And he goes, I'm going to call my horse Arrogate.
Yeah.
And then people just thought it was Arrogate because they're more posh than...
Then his friend called it, was it Halifax, isn't it?
Yeah.
The two-year-old that's around this year. Yeah, fine.
Exactly, yeah.
Is that what we're going for now? Just naming horses without letters.
Just going to name Yorkshire towns without the correct letters in there.
Looking forward to Eads running next year.
Yeah. Well, nobody calls it Eads.
Maybe Radford.
No, I think you're getting it wrong.
I sound the letters in all the words.
Yeah. Well, Harrogate...
I get abused for it up here, but I still sound them out.
Yeah, there's the old Yorkshire phrase, Harrogate is the only town in Yorkshire that starts with a H. It's not, but
yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
You northerners. I'll get used to you one day.
Yeah. You're obviously a massive fan of the Breeders' Cup as well. Where did it start? Where did the love affair with American racing come from? Because over here for years, I know it's much bigger now, and it's great that we've got free-to-air coverage of it as well on betting TV here at William Hill. But a few years ago, it maybe didn't have quite the same luster that it's given nowadays.
I like most sports that you can sit at home in the evening and watch just on TV. NFL, love it.
No life
NHL,
thing.
Love it. Yeah, very little of that. thanks for that.
That sounded far meaner than I meant it to.
Yeah,
well,
you know.
It was supposed to be a bit of banter.
You do you. you can sit down and watch top class racing in the evening. I think that the bit that really sparked my interest for the Breeders' Cup was Ouija board. When she won out there a few years ago, and I thought it was the best thing ever. I mean, you've got European horses from a betting angle. You've got top-class European horses that are going over to take on the top-class American horses, and especially on turf, you've got Americans for the turf that people are telling me that Beach Patrol's going to beat Highland Reel and Ulysses, which I think is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. Beach Patrol's a good horse, but he's not Highland Reel and Ulysses. It's very enjoyable. you get racing throughout the entire day. It's one of the best weekends for me. Being there last year, I urge everyone to go across to a Breeders' Cup. At Santa Anita, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's the most beautiful race course you'll see. You get looked after amazingly once they find out that you're English. they love it. They love you over there.
I should go.
You should. You should. They wouldn't quite know what's turning up with you.
Thanks.
Tell them about the Arrogate story. They'd love it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's one of the best spectacles you can have. We're already planning our trip to Churchill Downs next year for
That'd
it.
That'd be good, yeah.
But I'm still campaigning for it to be at Santa Anita every year. That'll be brilliant.
The backdrop is superb there, isn't it?
It is.
With the big mountains and whatever, cliffside. Well,
last year we were still turning up there for the works. Oh, we'll call it mountains. It's more impressive that way.
Yeah.
You turn up for the works and you turn up about 5 o'clock in the morning, and that sounds horrible, but the sort of sun's just rising, like the lights just about hit the track. It's so picturesque. It's amazing.
Well, that's lovely.
Is that enough love?
That's lovely.
Is that enough love?
It?
Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, I was going to say I'll go with you, but I don't want it to be that lovely.
No. Well, we had John Ivan Duke out last year, and obviously he's not with William Hill anymore, so there's a place.
All right, okay. Well, count me in. Sounds beautiful.
Come on, new Jid.
I had something to say, but I just can't stop thinking of that now. Oh, it'd be lovely. Yeah, I don't know what I was going to say. But for anybody who hasn't watched the Breeders' Cup before, there's kind of the Ryder Cup kind of element to it as well, European against American horses. It's a great watch, and it's free to air as well. Might as well have a look. You can watch it on the betting TV.
On the bet.
Get it on the podcast. You can watch it on the William Hill app, and you can also watch it at wh.cm/TV. So check that out.
Completely free of charge as well. No matter where you are, you can watch it doing whatever. I believe some channels aren't showing the classic as well. They don't have the contracts to do it. I'm reliably informed that we do.
Then it's your word.
Yeah,
So anyway,
I might not be here next week, but I've been reliably informed, I'm mentioning no names, that we are showing the classic.
Right, yes, I think that's the plan. Yeah. It is the plan, it is.
If not,
and if not,
desperately sad.
At Luke Elder on Twitter.
13, at Luke Elder 13.
At Luke Elder, well, just send it to the other one.
Otherwise,
well.
otherwise you're abusing some poor kid.
At Luke Elder 13, yeah. Charlie Hall as well this weekend, we must mention that. The jumping kicks up again this weekend. The National Hunt season well and truly back. Grade 1 action in the Charlie Hall Chase. We've seen Gold Cup winners running the race in the past. Coney Gree is a previous Gold Cup winner. He's 13-8 at the top of the betting for this year's renewal. Runs into an old foe, really, in the shape of Q Card, who's 9-4, won this race a couple of years ago, back in 2015, I believe. Black Lion, 7-1, 8-1 definitely red. More of that 8-1 as well. 10-1 for Bristol Demay, and 20-1, all bigger prices for the remainder. It's good to have these 3 mile, 3 and a quarter mile star chasers back out in action.
Yeah, Saturday's not a bad day of racing, is it? You've got the Charlie Hall, the West Yorkshire Hurdle, you've got some decent meetings, and you can kick on with the Breeders' Cup in the evening. But
Grade 1 in Down Royal in the J&Y chase.
It's a fantastic weekend of action. I said to you off air that Q Card is an absurd price. With us 13-8 Coney Gree, 9-4 Q Card, there's only one way I'd be going for that. As much as I love Coney Gree, it's not with him. I mean, Q Card well put him in his place in the Betfair Chase last year. The one slight concern is that I have long been a campaigner that Q Card's best trip is 3 miles or below. This is 3-1. It's going to test Q Card a little bit. I hope Paddy Brennan
rides... Do you still believe he doesn't stay?
Completely. He's not a Gold Cup horse.
You don't think so?
No, not at all.
I think he's more a Gold Cup horse now than he was, because when they changed barn and he came back a different kind of horse.
I still don't think he stays 3-2. I don't think he'd have won the Gold Cup that he fell 3 out in.
Okay.
I still think Don Cossack would have beaten him. I think he'd have been vying for second with Jackadam in that. I just don't think he's that strong a stayer. His best performance in recent times for me came in the Ascot Chase of a 2-5. I think that's his ideal trip. You got the glamour of winning a Gold Cup, which is nice, but the Ryanair has long been a race that I think is severely disrespected at the festival because it hasn't got the prestige of others because it's a newer race. In 10 years, 15 years' time, I think it will be more respected. And I think that's the race that Q Card should be campaigned towards. I just don't think he's a Gold Cup horse. He's one that I'd campaign for the King George, the Betfair Chase, but then revert back in trip for maybe the Ascot Chase and then the Ryanair for him. But 3-1 does stretch him. It's just hard to know what to expect from Coney Gree. Q Card was so dominant over him in the Betfair Chase last year, albeit one of the easiest 3 miles around. If Q Card is fully tuned up, or at least 90% fit, then he's going to make Coney Gree pull out all the stops. I don't see why Q-Car should be 9-4 and Königgree 13-8. Königgree has been on the go a bit longer than Q-Car, so may strip a bit fitter. And a horse as fragile as Königgree, he wouldn't be turning up to the race course 75% fit, looking to improve on that run. So with that said, that might explain why Königgree is a bit shorter, but I still think Q-Car will beat him.
Okay, it's interesting you say that, because I was just reading Mark Bradstock, or yeah, the Bradstocks, have said that Königgree won't be 100%. He'll come on for the run.
I think he'll be as fit as he can possibly be at home without actually having a race.
Yeah.
But Königgree is the sort of horse that he could run this weekend and then he wouldn't be sound the day after.
Yeah.
It's a horse that you can't take too many chances with, and that's the reason why he went for the Gold Cup and obviously won it, because you don't know how many more chances you're going to get with him.
Yeah, that's... fair enough. By the way, the warning... They have warned their rivals that he is as good as ever and goes to Weatherby with a very good shout. The warning bit and the very good shout don't quite really.
I'd love connections to go like, yeah, he's not as good as he once was. He's probably not going to win.
Yeah.
Like it's like a boxer. It's like every boxer thinks they're going to win every fight. Just a boxer.
He's the David Hay of.
He's quite big, isn't he? The other guy. It's like someone going against Anthony Joshua. It's like, at least I'm getting paid.
he's got a £6 pull as well with Q-Card, which I suppose might be the reason why he's above him in the betting. But
There still shouldn't be that much disparity between the two in the market.
What do you make of the younger legs of Black Lion and Definitely Red?
Black Lion, you imagine everything will be pointing towards the Gold Cup, towards the Grand National again this year.
Yeah.
Did he win this race last year?
No.
He ran in it last year, I think. Yeah, but
he didn't win it last year. It was... Rebecca Curtis's runner.
He did win it.
It was... the name's escaped me. It was a surprise winner.
Are you thinking of the run for Pele that won the West Yorkshire Hurdle?
No. Thinking of Irish Cavalier,
that was it, yeah. That was it. Yeah, fair enough. I'd completely forgotten about that happening. I think bigger prices... Double Shuffle is one that we haven't seen the best of yet. He's been mostly campaigned over 2.5 miles. I think three miles plus will be his trip in the future. He's not of that standard yet on what we've seen, but 20-1, he could be one that would pick up the pieces back in third place for me.
Okay.
I think Q-Card will win it, but I think the each way bet is Double Shuffle.
Good. We've got all that to look forward to at the weekend. Great racing on the domestic front over the obstacles, and great racing stateside for the Breeders' Cup. Do join us for that on William Hill Racing Radio and William Hill Betting TV. We should concentrate on matters a little close to hand, though. We've been talking for a little while now. Let's have a look.
This is a DeLaghi podcast, this is.
Let's have a look at Wednesday's racing. The 2 o'clock at Nottingham is the first race that Luke is going to give us his thoughts in. This is a Class 4 handicap. A mile and three quarters is the trip. A field of 10 set to go to post for this one. Luke, what's caught your eye in there?
I napped Whinging Willie last time around. It's a horse that excels at tracks like Brighton and Epsom, but he's also more than capable of running big races on more straightforward tracks, so to speak. I think the main thing about Whinging Willie is Hector Crouch on board, because he gets a better tune out of Whinging Willie than anyone else does. The last twice he's been on board, they've been successful together. I think it was his first ever winner as well at Newbury. Ground is important to him. He's not been the most straightforward at times in the past, but he's only gone up £5 for his last success. I think Whinging Willie will be there thereabouts. Swaheen would be another one that would come into the reckoning as well for Judy Camacho. Joe Doyle taking the ride. Now, soft ground's going to be no problem to Swaheen whatsoever. He's been on the premises the last few occasions off similar handicap marks. Win purposes, he's not the most prolific of winners. He did win at Carlisle on soft ground back in the summer, but that wasn't in the strongest of races. But I'd be disappointed if Swaheen, again, wasn't sort of in the first three or four. I think Whinging Willie would be the one that I side with after going back to a bit of form last time around. But it's the sort of race that you could make a case for quite a few of these, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but you're sticking with... Is that going to be...
It's more loyal. Loyalty, but...
Contender again?
I haven't looked at all the racing tomorrow, but he'd be on the premises for a potential nap. I'd say the main thing with him is that Hector Crouch takes £3 off, but he's a valuable asset to Whinging Willie. They seem to gel very well together. Say their last two efforts with each other have yielded wins together, albeit they've both been at more idiosyncratic tracks. Epsom last time out, it shouldn't bode any sort of problem, Nottingham.
Hmm. Hopefully we get a similar calibre of winner to last year as well. London Prize won the race last year, and he's had a pretty good time since.
Yeah, I don't think Whinging Willie's going to do that. he's an eight-year-old now, bless him. But
he's not going to turn up, win the Imperial Cup, then go to the Cesaro
Show or something. It's one thing to say about the favourite, or possible favourite anyway, St Mary's. I think is one that does suit tighter track. Did run well here at Nottingham last time out, but best form for me has come at Chester. Wouldn't be the biggest individual in the world. William Cox gets on very, very well with this daughter of Sayuni. Ground's going to be absolutely fine for Andrew Balding's charge. But for all that she ran well here at Nottingham last time around, I do prefer her on tighter tracks.
All right. Let's move on to the second race we look at. This is the 6.55 at Kempton. This is a two-mile handicap. Going for the staying handicaps on the flat for some reason. Don't know why. There's 12 runners set to go to post for this one. And I suppose we could start with Inoko, who's relatively solid at these staying trips in these kind of handicaps. Been knocking on the door recently as well.
Yeah, won at Bath a few outings ago. Since then, has been the model of consistency. We finished second at Bath again, third at Bath after that, then second at Yarmouth last time around. Handicapper has been slowly but surely putting up Robert Stevens' charge. One off a mark of 58. Beating Londonia, who was staying on all the time, but Inoko was taking it pretty easily in the closing stages, is up now to a mark of 65. In a race like this, it's going to be tougher for Inoko. Has had a bit of a break to freshen up as well. It'll be interesting to see what Inoko does back on or switching to the all-weather once again. It should really bode no problems whatsoever. It's 3 from 28 in the all-weather and always seems to run his race, but it's a horse that's just coming here in rude health. Could well be the one to beat, but it's going to be pretty well found at the head of the market, you'd imagine.
Yeah. Any value in there then to take him on?
Denmead's a horse that I followed this season. He's one that I couldn't really work out for a while, Denmead, in whether that he was not straightforward, whether he was just a bit weak and needed a bit of time. And it's looking more towards the latter, because a few times now he's had to get his head, sort of stick his head down and really crack on with things. He dead-heated at Wolverhampton a few starts back. He ran a good race in the staying contest at Goodwood behind Cool Sky. That was in atrocious conditions, and David Egan rode that day. I think he just had a bit of a rush of blood to the head. At the time, he was doing the right thing, because he had kicked about four furlongs out, and he had gone clear of the rest of the field. He was about five lengths up at one point, but Denmead just got a little tired in the closing stages, faded back into fifth, beaten nine lengths. Since then, it has been second behind Velvet Revolution, is a horse that on his day is very talented. Then tried taking on the Cesarevic trial at Newmarket, which I did quite fancy him in, but it was just too hot a race really behind Who Dares Wins and a few horses that did go on to feature in the Cesarevic. I think back on the all-weather, Denmead with Adam Kirby on board would be the one that I side with, but Inoko is respected.
Okay, so Denmead, the selection there for a bit of value in the 6.55 and before that, Whinging Willie in the 2 o'clock at Nottingham. Strongest opinion of the two?
Denmead would be the strongest fancy of the two. The race at Nottingham's a decent contest. Whinging Willie, it's loyalty with him, because he's a horse that I've liked for quite some time, but I still think there might be one more win in him before the handicapper gets him.
Superb. Well, thank you very much, Luke. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy it tomorrow and enjoy the Breeders' Cup. I know you will.
Just have the lot on Bolt Doro and the Juvenile, then we'll be happy.
I should really ask you why, but
because he's an absolute monster.
There you go. That's a good enough reason. Well, thank you very much, Luke.
You're welcome.
There you go, the thoughts of Luke Elder on Wednesday's racing and a little bit of a glance to the weekend as well for an added Brucey bonus. Darren Owen, Luke Elder and Chris Pimlott, the team, in the studio on Wednesday. It's a 12:20 p.m. start for the meetings at Nottingham, Taunton and Fakenham in the afternoon and Kempton and Dundalk in the evening. So do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.